Yes, this is very exciting. We've been working on this film for 7 incredible years, and the hard work is paying off, thank God.
Wow. So, you know, I was reading a little bit about your background. You know, you're the executive director of the Chaldean Cultural Center. If you could just give us a little background there and talk about the cultural center itself, and what does it mean to you to be Chaldean?
Oh, the cultural center is amazing. So I started in 2019, and the center was established in 2003. But in 2017, they opened the world's first and only Chaldean museum. Wow. So I, you know, when I walk in that museum, when I give tours, I got to tell you, I end up going back in time thousands of years to the cradle of civilization, where my ancestors are from. I connect with my ancestry, and then I end up coming out into the real world and realizing how important it is for us to always know our roots and to share our stories.
That's perfect the way, you know, you threw that in there. Talk about the roots there. If you can go into the understanding of your roots, no matter who you are, but especially for people of color to understand their roots and their background and what makes their culture so important.
Yes, because, you know, we come from an oppressive region, unfortunately, although we love it and it's always in our heart. Your yeah. birthland is always in your heart in a different way. But unfortunately, like for me and many others, we weren't able to really learn about ourselves until yeah. we came here, and long after we came here, because then we started to try to figure out who are we as Chaldeans and what does that mean really? And, you know, this country has given us that opportunity. It's given us the opportunity to tell our stories. And my friends, my colleagues, every time they would see me frustrated, in tears, feeling like unheard, our stories are marginalized. And they said, just keep telling your story. And I really, you know, there's countless many of them. So I can't even say their names, but they know who they are. I always give them gratitude. But I give a lot of credit for being here because of the attitude that exists here.
So as we continue to talk about the film and you talk about representation and marginalized communities, why is it so important and why did you decide to create the film?
Well, I started off being a writer, so mm-hmm. I always loved writing stories. The editors, publishers, agent I worked for were intrigued by the Chaldean community because it was something new to them. It was something, a community, a group of people that they'd never heard about. So they really encouraged me to continue telling our stories. So I kind of focused in that and wrote different genres, nonfiction, creative nonfiction. I even have a book of poetry. Over time, my passion for telling our stories, I realized that the medium of film was something that would help reach more people. And I was at Vancouver conference one time talking to producers of very big films who, given their feedback, I knew that if I didn't take initiative, nobody's going to help me make my films because everybody felt like, oh, who are we going to cast? Or this story is just not going to have the right genre. And why don't you write about honor killing? And so, you know, I came home from that trip and shortly afterwards, I enrolled in MPI, Motion Picture Institute of Michigan, for 1 year of full-time film school. I was the only girl in a class of, I think it was 24 students. And from there, I'm doing the same thing, but just using a different format to tell the stories. And you know what? I'm glad I took that route because it ended up where my film is getting more of an audience attention because that's what people are these days. It's more visual. It's getting the story across all over the world. And that means a lot to me.
And talking about the film itself, Pomegranate, can you go into the background of it a little bit? Just give people a little bit about what the film is about.
Okay, so as we know, in 2016, there was a lot of tension everywhere in the United States because of the elections, right? So, you know, you had the Trump people and you had the Hillary people, and people were just going at each other. And I kind of got involved in that, right? And then I thought, wait a minute. I don't know if I can handle this. Some people were experts at, like, they were really good at responding and yes. keeping it up. And I'm not that kind of, I was just like trampled on, right? Yeah. So then I thought, okay, I'll take my energies and I'll create a story so I can say what I need to say without all these, you know, on social media, people trampling over each other. So I wrote a story. Now, there was tension everywhere, right? Yeah. However, there was an additional tension within the Iraqi American community. Mm-hmm. So the Ninth District has the largest population of Iraqi Americans in the United States. And Michigan has the largest population of Chaldeans in the world. Wow. And the Arab American community here is enormous. So this topic was very, there was more tension and there was a sensitivity between the Muslims and the Christians, because the Chaldeans, you know, were mostly conservatives. The Muslims were mostly, or at that time, they, you know, they were not crazy about what Trump was trying to do. So they were going at each other. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to, through the stories, try to show both perspectives. And I had a Muslim, the protagonist is a Muslim girl, a beautiful Muslim refugee who's a liberal, living across the street from a conservative girl who's around her age. And they kind of, but you know, it's not a political story. It's got a lot of love, a lot of humor, because one of the things that's always been missing in our stories, this is the first Iraqi American narrative film, led by women talent, and the characters representing the community that they represent, meaning the Muslim family is all Muslim, except they have a young girl who's Chaldean, the 9-year-old. The Christian family is all Christian. And so that was so meaningful because each one was relating to what they were portraying. And, you know, people always talk about how they don't see themselves and this and that. Well, imagine what we see. We only see that we are either these oppressed women, or we are these, you know, the men have a certain stereotype, the women have a certain stereotype. We rarely see smart girls in our stories, strong girls, opinionated girls who are not in a victim role. And this particular girl, the protagonist, Niran, she's not a victim, but she is a refugee here. And she is trying to make decisions about how she wants to live in the West, how to own her own story, how to follow her own path. And of course, like anybody else, even whether you're a Christian or you're every woman, every community, you have your struggle. The Black community has their struggles, the Italian community, the Jewish community. She has her own, and she's just trying to find a way to find her path in this country. And it's an inspirational story. I mean, you know, even when we made this film on the set, we were Black, white, Muslim, Christian. We had our executive director, producer, is Scott Rosenfeld. He's of Jewish background. He's a producer of Home Alone. We had people from all different backgrounds creating a story, a meaningful story. And we just, because, you know, when we said quiet on the set, everybody had to be quiet and listen to the other person's point of view. And it's important that we do that, because we're not good or bad based on what our opinions are or beliefs are.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's exactly what we talk about, equity, diversity, and inclusion. That's what that looks like. It's making sure that everyone's represented and everyone's heard. Right now, we're chatting with filmmaker, award-winning author of 15 books, Wim Naum. Thank you so much for joining the show. I want to get into the trailer really quickly of the film. It's about a 2-minute trailer here, but just want to get into this so you can kind of understand and feel what she's saying right now.
Have you ever thought about removing your hijab?
But you really have to pick Sterling Heights. Everybody here is Iraqi Christian.
Oh, because I know you'd embarrass us with all this feminist talk, huh? Niran! But it's
Niran! You need to rest.
I wish.
Mary, still trying to save everyone?
Do you think Mary would ever give me a chance? Some Christian girls date Muslim guys. Besides, I'm an atheist.
All right, Mira, tell me, what do you want to do with your life, Mama?
A poetic warrior for a woman. Maybe even a rapper.
Thank you.
the number to the White House, please.
There's a lot you don't know about me.
And you don't know much about me.
Maybe we just send her to Iraq.
Send her to Iraq. Send her to Iraq. Are you crazy?
Mama, I'm not gonna marry Ahmed.
You have no choice, Niran. Niran, she's gone. Do you know where she is?
I never touched her. Everybody stop!
Niran!
Now, that particular trailer has been viewed over 3 million times. Can you talk a little bit about the film that you've been, of course, the film, but how you've been taking it across the country to different award ceremonies and showing it to different places and different independent film festivals and some of the feedback you've been getting?
Well, so I credit Jamal Adams, my editor, for his wonderful editing work. He's done an amazing job working hand by hand with me on this project after it was completed, after we shot it. So, you know, kudos to him for this, for helping me with this trailer. So I've had women who have thanked me, and these are Chaldeans and Muslims, mm-hmm. for portraying how they feel and how, you know, oftentimes Middle Eastern women, especially, this is the truth. There's a lot of things that we can't share very easily. We have, you know, we come from a region that's kind of where women are in the shadow of a lot of things, whether it's of men or politics or religion or whatever they are. And I just really had to, I wrote a story because I just felt like it's time that, you know, we are able to express what we say in the bedroom and what our lives are like behind closed doors. And the actors, I mean, right now I'm listening to the voices of Zain Shani, who plays Hasina, the mother. She's a hijabi in real life, by the way. Mm-hmm. And Samia Rahmani, who won an award for best actress already from the festivals. And this is just, we just started submitting to festivals. These are Muslim women who loved the story, who said that we could relate. And I did, you know, I had a book talk that was canceled by the Muslim community. This was before, it was a month before we were shooting the film. So this was a while back. And, you know, they just, I wasn't invited by the Muslim community. It was a talk that I was given for this big organization, but the Muslim community was against this talk, and it was just a talk. So having said that, though, the film has gone on to be, right after that happened, the Taliban, they, you know, overtook the Afghanistan, yeah. and all the things that started happening to women. And then later in Iran, what took place with that, which was so sad with that one young lady.
Yeah.
And so if you look at and see how much it takes from us, this includes even myself, to tell our stories, it's really more challenging. I know it's challenging for many filmmakers because of funding or this or that, but on us, it's more of even the psychological aspect, the cultural aspect that's behind that. So people like yourself who are giving us this time to say our stories or to show it, understand the importance that our stories are not told for a reason. And it's not just because it's difficult becoming a filmmaker. There's a lot of reasons for that. And it has to do within our own community. But, you know, now look, it's playing in Sweden. It just won an award in Sweden. I received information. Prague, they just picked it. I received emails today. Prague picked it semi-finalist. I think it was a San Diego festival. People are picking it left and right because the topic is timely. I got a call from Scott Rosenfeld one morning. I'll never forget. It was just a random. Normally, we just call each other if there's a reason or if we have a meeting. But one day he calls me and he said, could you have timed this film anymore? You know, could you have timed it anymore perfectly? And I laughed because it started in 2016, where some of these topics were not, you know, and then Trump running for office again. All everything that what the story is about, it's coming back today. So it's timely today, even though it started 7 years ago. And the whole issue with the hijab and women, whether they should have their freedom or do they even have their freedom? Because when the book was canceled, I was like, okay, but that's, you know, if you're saying that women do have freedom of what to choose, why would the talk be canceled? Exactly. But that's okay, you know, because we went on, we filmed it, we're here, it's winning awards. I'm very happy. And by the way, I just want to say one last thing.
Yeah.
When the person or the group that canceled the talk, when they said the Muslim community does not fall into one community. Sure. It's a diverse community. Just like the Chaldean community is not all conservative. Not everybody votes a certain way or thinks a certain way. So it's diverse. There's people that think differently. And we need to understand that we can't just put somebody in one box and one description.
And, you know, before I let you go here, one of the things that I wanted to touch on was the fact that you are a woman right now in a particular area of profession that you don't often see women doing, especially Middle Eastern Muslim women, Chaldean women. You don't see it often. So talk about the importance of you being kind of this, I don't want to say, you know, but you're a person who's in a position that's being seen in a light that's helping other young women. So what would you tell other young women in your position?
You know what? Don't be afraid to break barriers. We have threats from our ancestral past that prevent us from being able to comfortably speak up. But we live in a country that keeps telling us that we have that right, and to really own that and be okay and not feel that because we are choosing freedom to do something, that means that we are disrespecting our religion or our culture. You have the power to break barriers. And when you do that, you spend less time complaining and feeling bad for where you're at. The more work you do towards telling your story, the less bad you feel. You feel like you have some control over where you're at in life.
That was Weem Naoom, filmmaker and award-winning author of 15 books, executive director of the Chaldean Cultural Center, writer and director of the feature film we were just talking about, Pomegranate, and the founder of Unique Voices in Films. I want to say thank you so much for joining the show. I would love to have you on again so we can extend this conversation out a little bit more.
I thank you so much for this platform. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And you, once again, have a great day.
You too.